Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Again, I love you as a person, and I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
It was the surprising courtroom embrace seen across the nation. The brother of Botham Jean hugging and offering forgiveness to the former Dallas cop convicted of murder. Brant Jean told Amber Geiger he wanted her to give her life to God during victim impact statements during the trial.
I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you, because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ.
This act and others in the courtroom this week has raised emotional questions about forgiveness. Are there limits, particularly in a case like this? Well, we are talking about it tonight. My guests are Dr. Kia James. She's a relationship counselor and co-founder of the Relationship Boosters. The Reverend Dr. C. Anthony Muse, pastor of the Ark of Safety Christian Church, and Rizikat Odeke. Help me with this.
Okay, Day.
Thank you. I'm working on that. Okay, Day. Black culture expert, and we are talking to you. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You are welcome to tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Okay, so Reverend Muse, can you, before we even deal with what happened this week, can you give me a working definition of forgiveness from a Christian perspective? And the reason why I ask that is because the Jean family have been not ashamed of talking about their faith during the entire course of this, and I think that's where we want to start. Go right ahead.
Sure. Thank you very much. I think that from a, and let me say again, good evening to you, my friend, and to your guests who were there and those who are listening. Good evening to all of you. Forgiveness, it not only embodies, or it's not only about the person who is giving forgiveness, but forgiveness in itself involves, number one, true repentance, admission of guilt, and a sense of turning away from it. Forgiveness in itself is on the part of the person who is giving forgiveness, is to somehow cause the weight of the guilt and the anger and all else for them to be able to deal with it constructively. But one cannot be forgiven if one does not accept the responsibility, if one is not willing to change and admits guilt. That's how it operates.
Help me with that last piece. Who needs to admit guilt? The perpetrator, in this case, the perpetrator of the crime?
Absolutely. It is a perpetrator. It is the one who the gift of forgiveness is being bestowed upon in order to make it efficacious. In order to make it efficacious, then that one must be willing to admit, I'm seeking forgiveness, I've done wrong, and I'm willing to admit it, and I'm willing to work on changing my attitude and behavior about it to the point that I take and accept responsibility. Biblically, that is forgiveness.
What do you think about what Brant Jean did in court that week?
I think that first we have to understand he's 18 years old. He's caught up in a lot of emotion, a lot of what's going on. He said, I love you as a person. I do not wish anything bad on you. To the extent that those were his words, that's good. It's helping him to deal with it. It's not bestowing anything, as far as I can tell, on Amber Geiger at all. As far as Amber is concerned, she can neither receive the blessing of forgiveness nor the power of forgiveness mentally, emotionally, or otherwise. She cannot be released from the guilt. And as far as I can tell from her actions, God has not forgiven her. And if I may, here's why. As I said earlier, forgiveness requires one to admit guilt, take the responsibility of saying, I have sinned or I have offended. And she pleaded not guilty. She stuck to her lie, and she was crying because she was going to jail, not because she committed murder. God does not forgive those who do not seek to repent, turn around, be sorrowful, and try to do something to make up for it.
Dr. James, here's the thing. Okay, Reverend Yu said Brant John is 18 years old. That judge was not 18.
Oh, yeah, correct.
The judge, I've been doing this a long time. I've never seen a judge hug a convicted murderer in court before. The bailiff was straightening this woman's hair in court. I am confused.
Yes, and that's different from the young man.
Yeah, that's. Help me with this, Dr. James. What was it that Amber Geiger was able to do to elicit this kind of treatment in court? She killed a man. She shot him dead in his own place. Accident or not, she's a convicted murderer, and folks are hugging her. What's going on?
Well, you know, I think there's different levels to it. So the young boy is one thing. You know, he's dealing with the passing of his brother. He's got a lot going on. And so forgiveness for him is about healing. It's not really about her as an individual. Really, it's about him being able to move past the situation and live his life to the fullest. Now, the judge is a whole different story because, of course, she's supposed to be there, not biased, being able to try a case and make a decision based on information, which is a whole different, you know, she has a different position. So, you know, in the counseling world, we have to look at it from two different ways. Like, there's a community, of course, we need to advocate for change and things where they need to be changed, and we need to advocate for people not to be harmed and things like that, and cultural diversity. And, you know, there's a lot of implicit bias, a lot of things that go into you know, just thinking about this case in general. So we want to make sure that people don't think it's okay to harm or kill black individuals. So we don't want to co-sign on that. But we do want to respect the fact that the individuals that were that, you know, the family really needs to be able to cope with this, to be able to move on. And if that includes hugging her or whatever that is, and that, you know, that's what is needed for them.
Kat, what do you think?
All right, I'm going to take a different spin. I'm excited about being here, so thank you so much for having
me.
Sure,
absolutely.
I think what we are seeing is long-term, what I call the master-slave paradigm. It's how I talk to my students about how racialized slavery affects black people, specifically in America. White tears, specifically by a white woman, we have been taught to center white people when they cry and all of these things. When you look at Ms. Geiger's testimony, they spent a lot of time on her hemming and hawing and her, you know, I need a minute, all of these things. In normal court cases, as a witness, you are expected to compose yourself. She was given a lot of leeway, an extreme amount of leeway. When the jury read out the verdict, the family was not allowed to even respond to the guilty verdict. The judge was very clear, no outbursts.
Yeah, but that's standard fare in any courtroom.
Right. So. But what I'm saying is that as a white woman crying about what she has done, she has, as the Reverend said, pleaded not guilty. She entered someone's home. She did all of this. She killed a man. These behaviors that we're seeing, in my opinion, are a reflection of how we have been taught, particularly as black people in this country, to center whiteness. I do not understand why the judge would hug her. That's absolutely inappropriate. I do not understand why the bailiff or whoever that policewoman was would be stroking her hair. Sure. But when I see it, it looks like to me this conditioning that always, you know, I've been in situations, white women start crying, everybody stops talking about what we're talking about to make sure this white woman is okay. And I think that's part of what happened.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about forgiveness in the wake of the Amber Geiger murder conviction this week in Dallas, Texas. If you missed it, Amber Geiger last year, a former Dallas police officer, went to the wrong apartment and shot and killed Botham Jean. She thought that she was at her apartment, the apartment above her. She was off duty but in uniform, shot him twice in the chest, and killed him in his own apartment. She was convicted of murder this week, sentenced to 10 years. But we're asking tonight about forgiveness. Could you have forgiven her if you were in the position of the Jean family? What does that mean to you? I don't know. Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Sandy calling from Southeast. What's on your mind? Sandy, are you there? Sandy, give me, are you there? Okay. Give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Glenn calling from Waldorf. Thanks for calling, Glenn. What's on your mind?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I agree wholeheartedly with your last guest where she said there's master slave paradigm thing going on. No, I would not have forgiven her. I still do not understand how you get a murder charge, but you get a manslaughter time slot of 10 years. She should have got 25 years. She didn't show any remorse, just like the gentleman said. She stuck to her guns. Forgiveness is out the window for her. I just, so many things were going on. It was like a circus. The judge getting choked up, never seen that before, but I do understand the master-slave thing. And, hey, they have to understand that Caucasian women used to kill so many children back during slavery times. They had to make a law. People need to know their history. They killed just as many as the white master did, and they are still doing it today. Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, Glenn, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Stephanie calling from Alexandria, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, I am listening to everything everyone is saying, and I'm disgusted by the fact that, one, the judge decided to give her a hug, which was highly inappropriate. The bailiff caressing her hair, highly inappropriate. And I just wonder, if the tables were turned, would the judge have come down and stroked this man, gave him a hug, and the same with the bailiff? I think not.
Okay. Stephanie, thank you so much. Reverend Muse, here's my other thing, too, and this is something I have not seen. Who was hugging Botham Jean's mother in court?
Great question.
If anyone deserved a hug, support, you know, this was her oldest son, and from all accounts, you know, a saint, active in his church, a good man, gainfully employed, educated, active in his community. To lose that kind of child.
Correct. I think if you look at the judge and what I saw there, I don't know what others saw, but I saw really a small, very small microcosm of white America and racism. Blacks have always been asked to forgive, and whites are not always willing to change and to admit that they are wrong. When I saw the judge hugging her, it was almost as though we were saying what happened really doesn't matter. You matter more. And in our country, that really is what goes on. She doesn't understand that she represented a racist, messed up system of justice. Our justice system, I know, I worked 12 years as a senator, 4 years as a member of the House of Delegates. It is racist. And we're always asked to say, I'm sorry. We did it in South Carolina. We always ask, we're the ones. We're not the ones who are given any attention. It's always an excuse for the perpetrator. Slavery, sorry. Vagabond, that changed the vagabond laws, sorry. Jim Crow laws, sorry. Separate but equal, sorry. Signing of the Civil Rights Bill, sorry. War on Drugs, sorry. It's always sorry when it's acted out, but until there is a change in this systemic racist country, all of the hugs in the world are no more than slaps in the face to those of us who are the recipients of, and who can sit there and see that, and no attention given to the mom at all. That was inexcusable. In my opinion, for someone in that position, offering that, and a representative of a justice system that is racist.
We've got a bit of an issue here, a technical issue, and we are going to unfortunately have to cut this conversation short here in the studio. Really important conversation, and I'm sure it is not going to end here. But I want to thank my guests, the Reverend Dr. C. Anthony Muse, also Dr. Kia James, and Riziket Odekay. I'm gonna get it right. Thank you so much for your passion. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM and WHUR for this Friday, October 4th. For news director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful